It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Get the app. Get the sports hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the sports hub app today.
I think he's maybe a little out of shape. To me, it looks like he's a little overweight. And his timing, his quickness, he's maybe like an instant slower than he's been.
Tommy Eisen, you can't do any wrong. In his eyes, if you're a Celtic, you can't do any wrong. You know, and I appreciate that. And that was the truth. You know, and I had to get in better shape, and I had to, you know, become more dedicated to what I have been doing, but more emphasis. So, you know, I took that. I was on the bike the next morning, you know, versus the climber. I was doing everything possible to make sure I prepared my body for what's to come for the rest of the season. So it's a long season. Just wanted to get prepared. But I shouted him out because it's the truth. I needed it.
Sorry for playing that ugly audio of Heinsohn fat-shaming Kyrie Irving.
I just, when Kyrie at the end of the game was like saying something about Tommy Heinsohn, like, Tommy Heinsohn called him fat? And then, yep, twice. We had Mike Gorman on yesterday. Like, yeah, yeah.
Give me two porterhouses.
Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for your Boston Celtics. Hello, Mr. Ainge.
Good morning, Fred and Rich and Shazawi. How are we doing today?
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it.
He's a part-time magician, my friend. Yes, he can wow you.
Yeah, that's right. It's his birthday today.
Hey, John, I just have one question, John.
What's that?
Did you ever just Google Shazawi's magic shop?
After?
And there is such a place?
I did Google it, and I'm like, oh, man.
No, he didn't.
I did.
He followed me halfway home.
I didn't say it happened at the station. After I got home, I Googled it. No, I'm like, oh, okay.
But like, what was your motivation for following me?
I don't remember why. I mean, this is 9 years ago. I don't remember why I followed you.
Like, but I'm like, why is this guy following? Like, what does he think I'm going to do?
I honestly had no idea why.
All right.
At this point.
But Danny brings up a great question. Why did you not Google that?
I don't know.
He was money hungry.
I'm just so happy that someone wanted me to speak for their company. I'm like, okay, I'll take the money. And I had asked Fred earlier, what do you think about this? And Fred, in character, said, well, I mean, it looks silly, but I'd do it. It's cash. I'm like, okay.
All right. Well,
you thought Fred was going to Shazawi. That's why you followed him.
That's right. He was like, well, I could use some rings
that
are difficult to get apart. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, man. So what did you think of that exchange, the whole Kyrie Irving, Tommy Heinsohn calling out Kyrie for looking out of shape? What did you make of that whole thing?
I thought it was great. I thought Kyrie handled it perfectly, and it was great. Yeah, Kyrie, you know, came up to me, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago and just felt like that was something that he needed to do. He needed to just get, like, in great tip-top shape. He wasn't in bad shape. He looked like our best player throughout training camp. But, you know, it's a different level of conditioning when you're a top-line scorer in the NBA. Scoring is more wear and tear than anything in the NBA.
Is that what was the difference between all of the games leading up to this last one in Detroit? Because, I mean, that seemed to be his coming out party. I mean, like, Kyrie is back, it felt like, after scoring 31 points. Do you think it was just him being, I want to say out of shape, but not in basketball shape?
Oh, no. I don't believe that. I think Kyrie was partly tongue-in-cheek there. I think he felt like he needed to get in better shape. You know, well before Tommy made those comments, but I think the way Kyrie handled it and gave Tommy credit for getting him in shape, but I actually thought the Detroit game where Kyrie scored 3 points, he played really well. He dictated the entire tempo of the game. We got wide open shots. He'd penetrate in the paint. There'd be five defenders in the lane. And, you know, we made him pay. But Kyrie's tempo, pushing the tempo, was fantastic in the first Detroit game.
Well, and the good thing, too, is that over those last two games, you also saw Jaylen Brown kind of come out of his shell and start to find his footing again. What have you noticed between the last two games and what was happening before, and what has changed with Jaylen?
You know, I don't think much. I think there's going to be – we only have one basketball, and we have a lot of guys that are capable of scoring, and so – They're just not going to be able to do it every night, not everybody. And we're going to see two or three different guys each night. And I'm not worried about that. When guys have 6 points in a game, it doesn't mean they play bad. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that they didn't get the opportunity that night. Now, there's going to be times where guys go 2 for 15 from the field and score 6 points, and that's different. But the opportunities are going to come to different guys each night, and we have to be able to accept that.
I'm watching your team, Danny, and we've discussed it many times since the season started. You know, Kyrie Irving's kind of playing himself back into shape. Gordon Hayward, we've seen flashes, and it's different guys every night. But the one guy I think that's pretty much been the most consistent since the season started has been Marcus Morris. And I don't know if he plays the villain on your team for when you go to other cities, but it just seems to me like he relishes the role that you've given him, especially this season.
You know, I agree with you. Marcus has played great. He's having a terrific year, coming off the bench and really giving some spark both on both ends of the court and, you know, on the glass. So, yeah, I would agree that he's off to a great start this year.
Do you like how the NBA is now, where teams seem to, this year more than anything, be scoring 140 points? And you know, someone made a great point this morning. Maybe a lot of that has to do
back to Danny's playing days. That's what it used to be like.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, but a lot of it might have to do with the 14-second shot clock on a rebound. What do you like this brand of basketball as opposed to what it was before this?
You know, I think that shot selections are getting better. I think that pace is probably the number one reason why. I mean, people coming out of training camp and they're really emphasizing pushing the ball up the court. The 14-second rule change, the foul rule changes. I think all of those things contribute a little bit. And I think it will level out. But there's been some crazy high-scoring games early that doesn't usually happen.
Oh, it's been absurd. I mean, it's been, especially in the West. Who was it? Klay Thompson had like 52 points the other night.
14 threes. He had 52 points in 27 minutes.
Okay. Now, at the beginning of the season, we're looking at the Celtics and thinking, all right, well, these guys, you know, they're a team that we hope can hang with Golden State. And Golden State, even, I think it was Sean Livingston, said, you know, the Celtics are a younger version of us. And when they speak, they seem to think that, you know, the Celtics are a formidable matchup. When you see how the Warriors are playing, is this the best that you've seen the Warriors as a team play up to this point?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, they've been good for the last 3 or 4 years, obviously. And but you know, Klay Thompson was 4 for 34, I think, before he made those 14 threes in one game. And you know, but that's just the nature of 3-point shooting. There's a lot of variable in that, and you sometimes live by it and sometimes die by it. But Golden State is the best shooting team in the league, for sure. They have three best shooters in the entire NBA on one team. So they get away with more difficult shots. They're great players that make great shots. But, you know, we're going to have to beat them with depth. I mean, that's going to have to be our calling card this year, is we have a lot of good players that we can tag team and, but it doesn't do any good to have depth if you're not playing hard at all times and try to wear teams down.
It was a guy who played on, obviously, a legendary Celtics team and played against Michael Jordan and his Bulls. What do you believe that the Warriors, this has been an argument that's a lot of people have been having this year, are the Warriors the best team of all time?
I would not say that yet, no. I mean, they're a great basketball team, but I wouldn't give them that title yet, no.
How many more do they have to win?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but
Celtics won 8 straight in the 60s, Rich.
Yeah, but that's a, but wouldn't you even argue that that's a different time and what they're accomplishing is it seems to be like I mean the competition's a little bit bigger. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, you know, like listen, I'm not sure how many more they have to win. I just like wait till this year goes by for sure. But they're a very talented team. I mean, all the credit to them. They're loaded.
Danny, I was reading last week, and I don't know, it might have happened before we had you on the last time. Apparently, there's a new museum that is going to detail the life of Larry Bird in Terre Haute, Indiana. And it's going to start from when he was a child all the way through his playing days and celebrate his life. I'm just wondering, is there a Danny Ainge Museum in Oregon or in Utah we should be made aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. I hope not. No, I don't. There is no museums, no. That'll be cool. Terre Haute, Larry Bird is, you know, he's made Terre Haute, put them on the map. So,
oh, has he?
Have a museum. I love it.
I don't see a lot of pilgrimages to Terre Haute, Indiana. But, you know, he's a man done well. And I can, so they're putting it in Terre Haute?
Terre Haute, Indiana, yes. It's part of the new convention center out there. Indiana governor just announced it last week.
Oh, wow, that's not wasteful.
Bird himself is donating some personal memorabilia
He's like, here's the Coke that I drank out of.
but that Larry and Magic little thing by Fox was pretty good.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
That three-game, did you see that?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah,
Larry, yeah, I like that. That was good.
Larry seemed not quite as into it as Magic.
Your Magic seemed a little too excited.
Yeah.
An update on Daniel Tice. What are you hearing?
We got good news from Daniel this week. It looks like it'll be, you know, a few weeks as opposed to, you know, 6 or 8 weeks. So it's not quite as bad as maybe initially thought, so that's good. But, you know, still day-to-day, uncertain. I mean, he's still in a boot right now, but it's not day-to-day. I was wrong. But it's not too far down the road, probably a few weeks.
All right, Danny Ainge, thank you so much for supporting the fledgling Shazawi business with your endorsement. We appreciate that, and
do I get paid for that endorsement too?
that's I mean, if you come into
John,
the show,
do I get to share a percentage with you, John, now?
Absolutely, Danny.
All right,
it's my pleasure.
You, Danny, you come in, we'll give you one of them wands that turns into flowers. I mean, that's the best I can do. All right. Or one of the things that locks your fingers together. All right. Danny Ainge, thanks so much. Have a great week.
All right. See you.
All right. See you. All right,
I appreciate it. You want to do the stack here since we're reliving my favorite moment in show history?
Do we find it?
Yes.
We're good?
Mike's cutting it.
All right. Let's do it.
It's literally my favorite moment.
Really?
On the show. On this particular show.
Yes. 9 years. The Wake Up Wallach was your favorite?
It's. I listened to it at home 20 times.
Yeah, it's John's birthday, so that might be. When did we do the beginning of last year?
He was in L.A. We were on TV.
Last year, 2 years ago, I was in town to do the Lakers game against the Celtics. It was during the week, right? Oh, it had to be during the week.
Yeah, it was during the week.
But, yeah.
That's the hardest I've laughed on this show. Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay. All right.
That was my favorite thing ever.
All right, well, we found it. So we will do that. We'll do the stack. Oh, we got those tickets at 9:30 to give away,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely. Tickets to the Sunday night's game, Packers-Patriots at Gillette. That's coming up at 9:30.
And after the commercials, we should come right out of it with the greatest Touch and Rich theme that's ever been written for the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting things in the air today. Wog's birthday and this song.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich. Sports Hub.
That we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Touch and Rich on your morning drive. Touch and
time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich.
That is the most shredtastic thing ever made. God bless Phil Vincent, who called in yesterday and said, "Yeah, in 24 hours, I can make you a metal song that will melt your face off about the show."
Yeah, and he didn't disappoint with the shred. Stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
All right, this has to be played. So Derek Lewis, as you know, has now become my favorite UFC fighter. He was the one, do you remember, who last fight during the big Conor McGregor-Habib fight. He was the one, the fight two before it. And he's kind of a fat guy, and he hates working out.
Not kind of a fat guy.
He's a pretty fat guy. And he was the one where they asked him, you know, why'd you take your pants off? He said, my balls is hot. On top of that, during that fight, he was getting his ass kicked for almost an entire three rounds. And then at the very end, he just said, all right, enough of this. And just with one punch, knocked the other dude out, just crushed him. So he's one of my favorite new fighters, Derek Lewis. So Derek Lewis has a fight coming up, and he was asked, it's going to be at Madison Square Garden. And he was asked, what does he eat to get ready for his fight? This is yesterday at some big thing that they did, a question and answer at actual Madison Square Garden where the UFC fight's going to be. And here was his answer. Well, he's not as good as they thought, but he said, my wife's in town, I eat her blank.
And not traditionally what you would think.
No.
This guy's great.
Yeah, yeah. Derek Lewis is the best.
He's great.
His pre- and post-game stuff is fantastic. And he's a fighter you can get behind because this is going to have to be five rounds. And when he was asked originally whether he would want to take this fight, he goes, man, my ass can't even do three rounds. I don't know if I want to work out. He was complaining about working out 30 minutes a day. He's a professional athlete.
He
makes his money from doing that.
I saw a sign. I don't know if you're leading up to this or not, Rich, but I saw a sign outside Popeye's Chicken. You know, congratulations, you know, you eat free here, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, because he wanted to fight Daniel Cormier.
Right,
because
right.
Daniel Cormier made a commercial for Popeyes, and he goes, he didn't like the commercial because he just disrespected Popeyes, so I want to kick his ass.
Yeah. Of course he does.
Derek Lewis is the best. God bless him.
Just what the MMA needs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Just what the MMA needs. You got these guys like Conor McGregor, like throwing things at buses and talking a lot of stuff. This is perfect.
Yeah, he's a phenomenon, and I hope he wins, and I hope he continues to win, and just like and hates doing it. By the way, what a turnaround! It's like, is he fighting in like less than a month?
Right after saying he was woefully out of shape.
But not only that, just imagine like the intensity and how many hits to the head that you take when you're in the UFC, and they want you a month later to get back in the ring, especially him because he admits he's a fat ass and just wants to sleep and smoke up. Remember he said he wanted to smoke a blunt with Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
So, well, either way, can't wait for the fight. Well, the Red Sox ripped through $300,000 in booze at that World Series party. I mentioned this earlier. It was at a club called Icon, which I had to Google, and I live down there. But it's one of those that are in the little back roads over kind of by where the Blue Man Group is and the W. So there's a video that's there where J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, and a bunch of other players ended up going through champagne bottles. As a matter of fact, they had massive 15-liter bottles, and I'm going to butcher this, Luc Belair Lux, which they shared with the crowd, and over 40 cases of champagne. So,
I wonder how much of that they actually drank or just sprayed it around like idiots.
Well, they drank those giant 15-liter bottles.
Yeah, right.
Which, by the way, are just like, it's comic how big those things are.
Yeah, the whole reason that they exist is for douches at clubs to buy them and run around.
Anybody know how much one of those costs? Because I remember we were all blown away when the Bruins went down to Mohegan Sun and spent, $187,000 or something like that? And everyone gave crap to the one Amstel Light that was on the podcast some strange reason. But yeah, 300 grand they ended up spending apparently at the bar the other night. So now that Halloween is becoming a massive success, All of these old horror movies are saying, hey, you know, how about us? Matter of fact, LeBron James is going to be producing a brand new Friday the 13th. He said he was a huge horror movie fan. Didn't they just come out with one of those like 8 years ago?
No, there's only the one.
They've only made one of those. But now, Heather Langenkamp, do you recognize that name? She was the original heroine from the Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
She said, I'll do a new one because I know that you're getting success with getting the original cast, essentially, from the first Halloween by getting Jamie Lee Curtis back. And she says, I'll do another Nightmare on Elm Street. See, that's one of the rare ones that I think would actually do well. Like, if you got her back and you got Robert Englund back, who's like 90 years old or something now, you probably would have a successful sequel.
How many Friday the 13th movies, and we can count Jason versus whoever.
Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, count those two. There were two of those, right? So
was there a second Freddy versus
Jason?
I
thought there was a second one. Whatever. How many altogether?
Nine?
No. I think they actually had a number 10, and then Freddy versus Jason came out, and then they made the Friday the 13th that came out like 8 years ago. So this will probably be the 13th?
That's got to be the record, right? It's got to be the record.
James Bond still has a record.
Well, I'm saying horror movies and those kind of things.
Yeah,
Bond
Bond has the most sequels, I think, of any film.
24, 25.
Allow me to do this. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 will score a pair of tickets to see Tom Brady lead his team against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers this Sunday night at Gillette Stadium.
And finally, a reboot that I think I could get behind. Flash Gordon is back, but, you know, I think that they do...
obsessed with that movie.
Well, Flash Gordon was great, and they're going to redo it.
Really,
it's about time. No, it's over. The special effects are, like, wildly cheesy.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But we do have the new theme for the new song all ready to go.
It's all good, man. I could say Super Sarge here with Flash Gordon kind of thing.
Suck his wings. Andy Wong.
Andy Wong apparently going to be a new character in the Flash Gordon reboot.
Yeah. Andy Wong's name thrown around a lot here. Like, Jimmy Stewart will come up and put his... And I know it's good. But Jimmy Stewart will come up and like put his arm around Rich. He's like, I talked to Andy.
Yeah, Andy's the man. Andy like gives me tickets to auction off to for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
But we'll be sitting in a meeting, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, you guys shut up.
I'm down.
Andy called.
I'm down with the crew.
Have you been there?
Yep, I have.
With the crew?
Not with the crew. Nope, never been there with the crew.
Then you're a poser. It's John's 60th birthday, and in honor of that, we have my favorite segment that we've done on this particular radio show, and it involves John, and as a homage to him, we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 88.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Up, where we are, Toucher and Rich, and I'll tell you this. It's John Wallach's 67th birthday. And we just found out from a phone caller, I didn't even know, this morning, early in the morning. They knew it was John's birthday. I don't know how they knew. John was not smart. He didn't walk around telling everyone his birthday was coming up like I do. You got to let people know so they don't embarrass themselves by not getting you something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But, Rich, the situation was this, is that John Wallach loves calling Celtics games more than anything else, more than he likes his children. And he was out in Los Angeles, and he takes it very seriously. And if you don't know, Los Angeles is 3 hours behind us mm-hmm. in terms of time. It's the Pacific time zone. So Rich and I decided that it might be fun to call Wallach's cell phone.
I don't remember what time we did this.
Maybe it was 6 o'clock. It was 6 o'clock.
So we did it right at the beginning of the show?
Yep.
Okay, so we did it at 6 o'clock. Okay, 6 a.m.
Yeah, this was 6 a.m. And it went to voicemail several times, but then finally we got a hold of him. So ladies and gentlemen, may we present to you my favorite moment ever on this particular show, Wake Up Wallach. feels good to be a bird today because you get to be in Los Angeles. His body clock should be adjusted to this by now. We are, given up on his cell phone, so we're efforting now to get the bird going.
That's right. John Wallach once again is calling the L.A. Lakers game against the Celtics, and it is 5:03 West Coast time.
And he should be up by now anyway.
Well, I mean, you would think so. So let's go ahead and get to... let's do it. So right now, Dan is calling the hotel.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, they're connecting him. Here we go.
This is all very, very exciting.
How do you spell his last name?
B-I-R-D. Okay, this is... now Bird is up, and he's dancing around. He's very...
Stepping on jokes.
That's right. Someone made the point on Twitter, the best part of this bit is Walk isn't there to step on it.
You got it?
All right, here
okay,
we go.
Calling
we're calling
himself.
Here we go. Here we are.
Wake up, Wally.
Here we go.
Sleep Eagle.
Hello. Pleasant wake up call. Fantastic. Where'd you get all these birds from?
Hang up. Oh, man. That had to be a pleasant way to wake up.
My face is really hurting after that.
Yeah, and I started crying.
That was awesome.
That never happens. Very rarely happens.
Poor guy thinks that horrible things are going on at home.
Man.
Well, I mean, obviously, when you heard all the frantic...
What do you do?
That hawk that put itself on his car windshield is very upset. His minivan's not here. Oh, boy.
Jeez.
All right, call him back.
Do you really want to call him back?
You going to talk to him this time?
No.
No.
Really?
Oh, hell no.
No, of course not.
Wow. Okay.
Sleep Eagle.
Hello.
He hung up.
Now he's had it.
That'd be funny if like he just was going into the stable center today and he was just getting packed.
Attacking him. He's like a walking Viking stadium. They're just like smacking themselves into him.
Oh, well, I mean, a hawk hurts on his car.
Okay. Yeah, it did.
Ton of tweets coming in. People, they're saying they're
well,
dogs
let's,
and
let's
cats
just
going crazy.
Let's just send that one to the Marconis, I believe.
Oh, boy.
Well, good. He should be refreshed for the game tonight. 10:30 tip off, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, 10:30 our time.
10:30 our time, of course.
It's more time to study.
Yeah.
You got to get up to date on what's going on.
All right.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Get to-